You talked about preaching. You must have enjoyed preparing. You have homilies.
Mm-hmm. The difference between a homily and a sermon is the homily is supposed to be a reflection on the scriptures that you've just read. And a sermon can be on any topic you choose.
Okay.
It doesn't have to come out of the scripture readings for that day.
All right. So you must have enjoyed that.
I loved preaching. I hated preparation.
Right.
I did it. I do not go to, on Sundays, I do not walk into a pulpit without a full text.
Right.
Now, it's written in my own hand hieroglyphics that I learned by taking notes in the seminary, so nobody can read my homilies but me, except I have one secretary who learned my hieroglyphics and transferred all my stuff to a readable text.
Was that distributed to the congregation then, a homily?
No, because I have a wonderful homily file. It goes back to 1976.
Boy, that should be published.
No. And the reason they said, people tell me that, and I said, no, I don't want anybody to know where I stole all that information. I don't want my sources revealed.
What would give you ideas? Life experiences for homily?
Well, life experiences and scripture study. Books on scripture that, like, if you were, you know, our liturgy is it's scheduled, you know. Every Catholic church in the world, in the Latin rites, has the same scriptures every, like, where I'm saying the same thing here that they say at Notre Dame, that they say at Cologne, that they say in Nigeria, that they say in Thailand. It's the same liturgy. We have it divided up into what we call ABC, which is really divided up into Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So during the A cycle, we read the whole Gospel of Matthew, and then we read the next year the whole Gospel of Luke, and the whole Gospel of Mark. And then St. John's Gospel fills in, because Mark's Gospel is kind of short, so St. John's Gospel fills in. And then during Holy Week, we only use St. John's Gospel. So we end up in a three-year period, we've read all three synoptics and all the major parts of St. John's just by going to church on Sunday. So that's what you preach on. It's what the scriptures are assigned. And the first reading is usually an Old Testament precursor to whatever the gospel is. And then the middle reading is an epistle of St. Paul or St. James or Peter or one of the epistles. But they all blend. They all have a theme that they come together.
So beyond Jesus, who would be your favorite people of the Bible?
Oh, St. Peter and St. Andrew.
And why is that?
Well, Peter, because he's the guy that said...
He's the guy.
I have two loves of Peter. One of my greatest loves of Peter is Jesus pulling him out of the water and saying, "You, what line of little faith? Why didn't you just get in the boat? What's wrong with you? Right. Just walk across the water."
Right.
And I so often just see myself going, "Help! Pull me out!" So I even have a magnificent painting of Jesus pulling Peter out of the water hanging in my office just to remind me of that. Mm-hmm. So Peter for that reason. And then, you know, Andrew's just a guy that asks all the questions and gets in trouble Thomas, the doubt. You know, I'm not going to believe he's risen from the dead. When is this? Give me some proof. And then when he gets a proof, he goes way beyond what the other apostles had realized. It's Thomas that is the first one that says, "My Lord and my God."
Mm.
All the rest of them said, "Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus is the Messiah." But it's Thomas that says, "My God." So those are my favorite people. I also kind of like Jesus' mother because she kind of messes him around every now and then. I love that whole thing of the marriage feast of Cana in Galilee when they run out of wine and Mary comes to Jesus and she says, they've run out of wine. And he says, "Mother, what is that to me? My hour has not yet come." And she just looks at him, turns to the guys in charge of the water and says, "Do whatever he tells you." And then she just looks at him and he goes and makes wine.
Yeah.
I always say that is, and I mean this lovingly, not prejudicedly, but it's the ultimate Jewish mother. You will too do that.
That's right.
You will too do that. What do you mean? It's not your time. I've decided it's your time. Go do it. And he did it. That's one of the reasons we, as Catholics, like to ask the Blessed Virgin to pray for us when we have needs, because we know she gets her way. That's very basic Catholic theology, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure taught to you in St. Thomas Theological, wherever. Yeah,
mostly taught to me in Rosary School in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And taught me very much at my mother's knee. Yeah. Irish Catholicism is very, very united to the love of Mary for her son, Jesus.
But weren't you taken with Peter because he, like all of us as humans, would fail so many times when he said, I will not deny you at all. And then he did. And so
I've lived Peter's life more than I have the Mary's.
We have Peter's, all Peter's, right?
You know, he's the one that gives you the courage to go to Jesus under any circumstance. Yeah.
Right.
And also, I have a phenomenal respect, and this is because of my father's respect. I have a phenomenal respect and awe of Joseph.
Yeah.
Who says nothing at all, but takes Mary as his wife, takes them off to Egypt, brings them back to Nazareth. He just does as he is told, quietly and effectively.
And it's like he quietly went away because we're not reminded of him.
No, we have a devotion in the Catholic Church to St. Joseph as the patron of a happy death, because our tradition would say that both Mary and Jesus were with Joseph when he died, and that would be a very happy way to die.
Yeah.
And we have an altar to that at St. Holy Family Cathedral.
Oh.
To the death of Joseph. In the turn of the century, the 1800s to 1900s, in the Catholic Church, there was a huge devotion to St. Joseph as the patron of a happy death. And you go into a lot of churches built in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and you will find a stained glass window or an altar or a statue to the death of Joseph. Very common.
All right.
Which is totally outside this interview, I'm sure. But
no, it's not.
Yeah,
I'm hoping everybody finds it interesting. Yeah. I know they will. I do. And that's
there's a whole lot of people who have gone to Holy Family their whole life and don't even know that that altar is to St. Joseph's death. They just know it's Joseph's altar and that one's Mary's altar.
And then the Apostle John was assigned to take care of Mary in her final days.
Yes.
And that was in... We have traveled many parts of the world, and I can remember things, but I don't know where I was when we saw that.
Ephesus.
We were in Ephesus. Yes, we were. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
The house of Mary in Ephesus.
Yeah. And we were there.
Yeah.
Was it believed, did she die or was she transfigured?
Our belief is that she was assumed body and soul into heaven. Whether or not she died first and then was assumed or just was assumed is still up for debate. I'm deeply convinced that she died because Jesus died. But then she was assumed in heaven. She did not ascend to heaven. And it's very clear. One's an active verb, one's a passive verb. She was assumed into heaven. And we believe that she was assumed into heaven because her body was the source of the human body of Jesus. And so it should not decay.
Okay. Interesting.
We believe we're all going to go to heaven, body and soul, in the end anyway.
Right.
So it's just an early thing for her.
Right. Right. And then we were in Corinth.
Oh, okay.
And we saw where the Apostle Paul...
Spoke. Because he was killed in Rome.
And where he was tried. I mean, one of his many trials in Corinth.
Yes. Yeah.
And I distinctly remember that.
Yeah.
And we walked where he apparently had walked, and then how he spoke in this amphitheater. And they said, this is where he stood, and he spoke. And I could only believe that that was true.
Yeah. We have a priest in the diocese who's a very good friend of mine, who was one of my assistants, has been to every place known where Paul preached.
Wow.
And some of them, you know, it's just a little plaque in the middle of the desert, but it's... he's been to all of them.
Well, and that came about because we were, of course, on a cruise of Greece, and then we stopped off on those places. It was one of my more meaningful trips.
Oh, yeah.
Right.